Welcome to The Truth Is Funny, Shift Happens, with Colette Marie Steffen, inspiring shift on Transformation Talk Radio, gracing the airways every Wednesday at 8 a.m. Pacific since 2013. And we're live on Facebook, providing nuggets of wisdom, tales from the vector, and energetic upgrades to lift you, shift you, and empower you to ride the wave of infinite potential. Do you have a problem? It is never what you think it is. Logical questions require creative solutions. Colette is a leading expert in the field of quantum energetic transformation. Learn to identify the usual energetic suspects and major accomplices to unveil another layer preventing you from living your authentic desires. You are a blank canvas. May as well paint a rainbow. We'd love to hear from you. Call 1-800-930-2819.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. This is quite fantastic to be with you here on April 14th. So we are well into our way in spring. As you can see, I am not Colette Mary Steffen today. I am Caleb Matthews. I will be your host today in place of Colette. She sends her greetings, but she has asked me to do the show today as I'm the scheduled speaker in her stead. And also was scheduled to be into the next up on the batting list. So greetings to you, wherever you are, whether you're listening via podcast, you're listening live right now on Facebook, YouTube, or just on the radio, or even later on. I give my greetings to you wherever you are tuning into from the world right now on this beautiful spring day. It is a lovely day here in Kelowna. And hopefully it is a beautiful day where you are as well. Okay, so thank you very much for spending your time here today. Thank you, Colette, of course, for having me on the show. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Caleb Matthews. I am with Encompassed by Dreams. That's my dream interpretation, spiritual consultation company that I've had going since 2012. And been doing different leading teams. Well, when you could lead teams pre-pandemic days around different places in the world, like Haunted Happenings, Nosara, and the Yoga Institute in Costa Rica, Stonehenge at the summer solstice, and leading teams and training teams from Canada to go throughout different places in the world, in Canada, the United States, to do dream interpretation, go to festivals, seminars, dream teams, interpreting people's dreams. Been doing this for quite a while now, and that's been a very very passion of mine through the deepest part of my core to interpret people's dreams and give them spiritual insight as a spiritual insurgent. So what is a spiritual insurgent? Well, somebody comes in and shakes up the status quo and really gives a MPA, so a multiple perspective advantage of the terrain and of the ground and of the situation. So dream interpretation, we may get into a little bit of that later on in the talk today, if time permits, but I have some content for you, for those of you who went on the Truth is Funny webpage through the talk show and saw the topic for today and the guest speaker, which is myself. And we are going to speak on some more Hebraic ancient histories, true stories from the Hebrew culture, that has very much to do, I think, with our current situations that we're going on in many of us as a people across the world, individually and in our own home and lives right now. At least I am. I know Colette is as well. I've been speaking with her even up for a few minutes before leading to the show, just going with her on the phone and just connecting with her and seeing how she's doing, and then just going back and forth, friend to friend, and seeing what we're feeling, what we're seeing in the spiritual terrain. And I know for a lot of you out there as well, from hearing from different people, that this is quite the time where the fire has come, it is coming, is here, and refining and really clarifying and bringing to light really the core values of each and every one of us, what we stand for, what our absolutes are, and really who our friends are, who's standing with us in the flames of testing and perseverance, and people who are not standing with us. So it's really a line of demarcation being drawn in the sand, so to speak. And so that is where we get into our topic today, the fourth man in the fire, encountering Yahweh in a Babylonian society. So what does that mean? So we need to go back to, okay, you might ask yourself, Caleb, what is Babylon? What is a Babylonian society? I've never heard of that phrase before. Who is Yahweh? What is a Babylonian society? What is this fourth man in the fire? What is this story that you were describing in your intro? For those of you who read it, for those of you who don't, I'm going to do a little bit of a recap here of what really the topic is about. And then we're going to get into some ancient text, some scripture, and then go into application and interpretation of what that could mean for us and our lives and how we apply it and what was going on and how God was speaking to the audience at that time. So around 605 BC, so this is all historically documented. You can look this up later on after on Google and verify what I'm saying to you is not just some fable. It actually happened. So this is historical events, and this is the lens of Hebrew history, really, of the interpretation of what happened there through the eyes of Daniel and his captivity into Babylon with his friends. But this is the incredible true story around the age of 605 BC, the period where there was a Babylonian invasion. So Babylon was a great empire led by King Nebuchadnezzar, and they were the reigning and supreme world power at that time. They were conquering nations. Egypt had fallen to them. Assyria had fallen to them. Different areas of the ancient world, at least in that part of the world, had fallen to the Babylonians. The Babylonian Empire was rolling on through, and they were devouring everything in its path. And so there was the invasion of Jerusalem, of modern-day capital of Israel. But Israel was invaded by Babylon. And so there was a great siege that happened where Nebuchadnezzar and his Babylonian troops surrounded Jerusalem, and there was eventually they managed to break through after several months and even I think up to a year or some years of surrounding Jerusalem. Finally, Jerusalem gave in and surrendered. But this was the invasion of Jerusalem in 605 BC, an incredible true story from the ancient book of Daniel. So we've got three friends who are Daniel's friends, who's the writer of the book, but we're going to focus more on three friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And they were taken into captivity by King Nebuchadnezzar, and they were raised as, apart with Daniel, as just astrologers, magicians, and just those who were to serve as officials in the king's court. At least that's the title that Nebuchadnezzar would put them on, that they would just be part of his astrology team. But they had a different core. They had a different value than just being a regular enchanter or just being thrown and lumped in amongst the rest of the Babylonians. So they did not want to defy their conscience. And so they had their moments. Their first such moments early on in the book of Daniel is when they were taken into captivity into Babylon. And there was a initiation feast. So there is a feast of food that was laid out for the three young men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And this feast had to do with every kind of food that they could not eat that was not kosher. You had pig, you had unclean cow, different meats that were not kosher meats, different things, especially pig though, that they could not eat, that really just part of their customs, it defied their conscience, both their spiritual conscience and also for their bodies. They just could not defy themselves with that food. So they said to the king's official, saying, give us a test. And for 10 days, give us the food of natural food, vegetables, and just give us vegetables and grain and water to eat. And then compare our appearance and likeness to those of the Babylonians and see who comes out on the other end a lot better off. And sure enough, they looked healthier and more strong, and there is a likeness and a countenance upon these young men that was different than the Babylonians. Why do I say this? Why do I share the story? So we'll get there. So there's something about feeding upon the spiritual food, the food from above. There is a different diet than the diet of modern day culture, what's going on right now. The diet of modern day culture is really, a lot of it is fear based. A lot of it is panic based. A lot of it is, oh, if you don't, you know, just tune in to really what's going on and who's calling the shots, or the news, or just the different media platforms. And, you know, you're not really tapped in, you're not really informed. You need to really adhere to this Babylonian way. And when I use the term Babylonian, it means the status quo, it means the culture, it means the majority think, the group think. And as we've seen throughout history, the majority oftentimes, many times, is not correct. I'll say that again. Oftentimes, just because a majority makes something, says something is legal or should be done this way, or majority says, oh, this is the way it should be, this is the way it has to be followed, doesn't necessarily mean it's moral. How do I know that? Well, we had in American history, in recent history, the slavery era, where people would own slaves, and that was considered good. If you didn't own a slave, a black slave, then there's something wrong with you. It's like you're missing out. This is what everyone does. Everyone owns a slave. Everyone has a plantation, but it wasn't morally right. What about in more recent history, where Rosa Parks refused to give up her seat in the bus during the civil rights movement, and anybody who was not a white person was expected to give their seat up on a bus to a white person, you had to stand, and she refused, and that was the runway which led into the civil rights movement. Different things, right? You know, you look back into the World War II. It's just the Jews were the minority, and they're the ones that were supposed to be everyone's problem. Was why all the terrible things that happened to post World War Germany in World War I, where Germany was just in financial ruin, and everything they were going through, they were looking for a scapegoat. They were looking for some people or someone to blame, something to be angry at for all the problems that they had. They lumped the Jews into that through obviously Hitler's regime, the Nazi regime, and they said, okay, well, you know, the Jew is the problem, and if you're not with us on this final solution, then you're really not with us at all. And how do we know, how many of us know that in the end that was not moral either, that was very immoral? So be careful. Obviously, I'm using very extreme examples. I'm using very, very historically documented and huge culture-shifting examples. But that to say, the majority is not always right. Just because the majority says something, it's supposed to be done the way it's supposed to be done, that doesn't mean it's supposed to be that way. So, Babylonian culture. We talked about these three young men, and they refused to eat the king's food, the diet that was put in front of them. And so they begin to flex this muscle. They begin to build this muscle in Babylon as captives. Think about this as a MPA, a multiple perspective advantage, having that bigger picture to detail. Remember how I've spoken about this over the past few months and years I've been on the show, for those of you who have tapped into this. Most of us in Western culture, we look at the detail. We're so enamored. We're so caught up in the details, the signage that's in front of us. We don't see the bigger picture. And that's when we start to get into problems, is when we are so caught into this Greek and Roman mindset, this academic, I have to have it laid out in front of me. I have to see every jot and tittle. And there's a place and a time for getting the details. But for the most part, we err on the side of too much detail and little big picture, very little. MPA, multiple perspective advantage. And this is what the men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, the three Hebrew mystics who walked to their own beat, their own drum beat, their own drum beat in Babylon. They believed in Yahweh. They believed in the God of heaven. They believed in the God of Israel. They did not yield to King Nebuchadnezzar's food or his diets or his customs or even eventually what I'm going to go into, even the greatest test of all, where they had to encounter the flames of adversity and stand in the fire. So they had to follow their conscience, exploring how to live their lives by their conscience and following Yahweh in modern day Babylon is what we're getting into. So for those of you who have the ancient text and who've heard of the book of Daniel, the book of Daniel chapter 3 verse 1, this is where I'm going to read from this ancient and mystical manuscript, this scripture. It says King Nebuchadnezzar had a gold statue. So this is what he did in those days. He think, oh, my power, my mighty power, my great power is being built. And I have to flex my power and show how awesome I am to my subjects and to my people and to the entire nation, to all of Babylon and all of the provinces, how great I am. So it says in Daniel chapter 3, verse 1, King Nebuchadnezzar had a gold statue made 90 feet high and 9 feet wide. And he had set it up in the plain of Dura, in the province of Babylon. Then the king gave orders for all of his officials to come together, the princes, the governors, lieutenant governors, commissioners, treasurers, judges, magistrates, and all the other officials of the provinces. They were to attend the dedication of the statue which King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Anyone who does not bow down and worship will immediately be thrown into a blazing furnace of fire. He said to them, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, when he found out they would not bow, because they refused to bow. Is it true that you refuse to worship my God and bow down to the gold statue I have set up? And they said, yes, O king, we refuse to bow to your statue. It defies our conscience, and we will only bow to the God of heaven. Obviously, King Nebuchadnezzar was enraged and thrown into such a rage that he ordered them to be tied up, fully dressed, shirts. So men who were fully dressed, shirts, robes, and caps and all. Strong men were to throw them into the fiery furnace, his guards, and they threw them into the furnace. Now the king had given strict orders for the furnace to be made extremely hot. The flames burned up the guards who took the men to the furnace. And then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, still tied up, fell into the heart of the blazing fire. Suddenly Nebuchadnezzar leaped to his feet in amazement, and he asked his officials, didn't we tie up three men and throw them into the blazing furnace? They answered, yes, we did, your majesty. So why do I see four men walking around in the flames? They are not tied up, and they show no sign of being hurt, and the fourth one looks like an angel of God. So the three men were released and promoted, and so Nebuchadnezzar went to the door of the blazing furnace and called out, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the supreme God and the mystical one, come out. And they came out at once. So that's a lot of content. That's a lot of information. That's a lot of history. That's a lot of epic story, clash between the culture of these three men who believed in Yahweh, the unseen one who was seen to them. He was seated upon the doorstep of their hearts versus the peer pressure, the Babylonian culture. Oh, you have to bow to that statue. Oh, that image of gold for all to see. This is the way everyone does it. So we need to bow to this image of gold, the standard. What am I saying here? Think about this for a minute, where you are tuning into right now. What am I saying here? What's the golden statue in really our culture? Only you can answer that question, but let's make this application here for a minute. So what are your absolutes? What are your core values? What are my core values? What are our absolutes that we're going to stand for to the point where we're willing to stand in the flames of adversity? We're willing to even move on from friendships, relationships, jobs, or places. This is something Colette and I were talking about before the show. There is a refining, there is a burning, there is a inferno that's happening right now, obviously with the chaos that's going on with the pandemic, and obviously with the chaos that's going on the last 12 months to 14 months to 16 months. It's this last year and a half has really been a pressure cooker. Not that obviously before then wasn't a pressure cooker, but especially right now has been a pressure cooker from a Babylonian culture, from a culture of our day, from a culture that demands compliance, demands that you get in line like a sheep, and demands that you do things a certain way. But I'm calling out to a higher standard, the standard that was within you, the standard that you know with your higher power, your connection to God. I believe my connection to God and the connection that I have followed since I was a boy, since I was a young man, like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, is Yahweh, the God of heaven, the God of all gods. That's what Nebuchadnezzar said. You are the God of gods. And that's the one. That's finding that connection to the higher power in the flames, in the inferno. And really, there's a place that there's an intensity within you as a listener right now. There's an intensity. There's a There's a passion to stand for absolute sets within you as the audience, within me, within us right now. There are certain absolutes that we're going to stand on, core values where we cannot go against our conscience. We cannot go against our convictions. Martin Luther was a man, a famous Martin Luther, for those of you know in church history. He was a man that was involved in the Reformation, the Great Reformation. And he said to go against conscience is neither right nor safe. So what is our conscience? Our conscience is that inner flame. It's that inner source. It's that inner alarm bell, so to speak. It says, hey, like right here, like that thing that's going on there in front of you, or that decision that you need to make, or that stand that you need to make, or something somebody said, or a decision that was made out there, or something you're connecting to is made there, then it's really like, hey, that's your conscience speaking to you, saying, okay, let's follow that here. Let's go with that. So I'm going to speak for a few more minutes and then we're going to go to a break. But just to recap so far, we're talking about the flames of adversity. We're talking about the flames of testing. We're talking about this fiery furnace, refusing to bow in front of that golden statue. So as we go into break, ask yourself, what are my absolutes that I'm willing to burn for? I don't mean like naturally burning it. You're going to be lit up like, don't get any weird ideas. I mean, metaphorically speaking, or as an allegory, spiritual speaking, what are things that you've been burned for, are being burned for, or maybe you could get burned for standing for some absolutes that go against your conscience, that go against your connection to your higher power, to God? You're like, you know what? This is going against what I believe, and I need to make a stand for it. So that inner flame, that connection, because as we have a connection to Yahweh, as we have a connection to God in His light, we see light, the flame of Yahweh. So that is something I want you to think about. So as we go into break, what is that golden statue? What's that intimidation? What's your conscience, your inner flame, the one thing that gets you up in the morning and really convicts and propels your conscience to say, all right, this is my inner flame. This is my conscience. This is my connection to face the day. What is it that ignites us to get up in the morning, to face the day and look beyond what's happening right now? So think about that as we go into break, as we covered a lot of content and information. We're going to go to a break right now, but thank you for those of you out there that are listening, and we are going to take a brief step away and come back. So stay tuned.
Did you know that when we talk about the Earth's ecosystems, the most important ecosystem has been left out? You. We created the ecosystem approach to recapture human potential.
Find us at theecosystemapproach.org.
Join us every Monday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time and 4 p.m. Eastern Time for the Ecosystem Approach Show with Jason and Patricia on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Hi, my name is Diane McClay. I'm comfortable being in front of people. How to make things work in a structured format made me feel a little nervous. Everybody I have worked with on the Transformation Talk team met me with enthusiasm. Their confidence in me spilled over to me and allowed me to just grab onto it and say, oh yeah, that's me and I can own it. Thank you for showing up for me. Thank you for allowing me to put my gifts into the world, and thank you for making me look good while I do it.
Grace your space with flair. Dragon Art to Soothe Your Soul by Colette Marie Steffen is available now. Colette invested an average of 6 months on each painting. Her piece titled Courage took 3 years to complete. The paintings are printed with the latest technology to best capture the true essence of the paintings. Browse the 64 dragons and dragonflies and order your paintings today at talesfromthevector.com.
Hi, I'm Laura Goldstein, and here's a Coffee with the Universe tip. It's no secret that anxiety and overwhelm are on the rise. While the tendency is to suppress these feelings, anxiety is really a messenger that's telling you something is off, very off. You might be shooting yourself and living a life based on someone else's expectations. Maybe you have trouble saying no. Or maybe you're following the fearful voice in your head that demands you do more, be more in order to feel worthy. So see where you can make a few adjustments in what you're doing to get rid of the overwhelm and create more peace inside instead. To get more tips like this, tune into my Transformation Talk radio show called Coffee with the Universe. It's a live call-in show. I'd love to chat with you.
Are you trying to lose weight but feel guilty for eating your favorite foods? Feeling deprived and resentful makes for results that aren't sustainable. Join Adrienne Craig every second and fourth Friday at 12 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com for her show, Master Your Mindset for a Weight Loss Breakthrough. Learn to love the journey and watch yourself succeed. For more information about Adrienne or to work with her personally, visit LifeCanyon.com.
You've been listening, but are you watching? Tune in to your favorite shows on the Transformation Talk Radio Facebook page. We stream live video podcasts every day.
Get empowered.
Hello. Okay. Thanks a lot for tuning back in. Those of you who are staying in this furnace with me, or staying in the fire, we are discovering some beautiful things in this talk, in this discussion, this conversation this morning. For those of you who know a little bit more about how fire works, refiner's fire, blacksmith's fire, when you're dealing with fire and you're dealing with metals, it burns out all impurities. So anything that cannot stand in that heat, that temperature, and that room temperature, really just, it fizzles out, it falls away. But you have to be made of that fire. You have to be completely consumed and engulfed with that heavenly fire, that flame of Yahweh, that flame of the Spirit, to really stand in that place, that inferno. Because if we don't have that culture, that heavenly culture, that MPA, that multiple perspective advantage. And we have the Babylonian culture, as we can see here in the story. Even the strongest men, the guards of Babylon, they died, they burned out. Their spirit was not able to stand. They were not even able to stand in a flame, even looking at it, let alone standing in it, because there was a level that they just couldn't go to. So that's to say, that idol, that statue, that peer pressure, that great intimidation tactic, only you know what that is, what could be standing between you and your destiny or your family or your vocation or your workplace or your personal conviction. Remember, going against our conscience is neither right nor safe. To recap what we were talking about earlier, Martin Luther said, remember that there are things and there are moments, there are pivotal points, there are Waterloos, to use the Napoleon terminology. There are our Waterloos where we say, we're going to make our final stand here. This is the moment we're going to make our stand, like Rosa Parks, where she refused to give up her seat on the bus, like so many others in history, like the Tiananmen Square, that man that refused to move in front of the tank, that video clip that I'm sure many of us have seen growing up, of where the tank's trying to go in front and the man swerves to the left and to the right. There are those moments in our lives where we have to make that stand and say, no, I'm not going to bow to that image of gold. I may burn, metaphorically speaking, in society. I may be ostracized. I may be disenfranchised. I know what it's like to be disenfranchised, for those of you who follow my story, by institutional religion. Hence why my audience is such a wonderful audience, such a free, unfiltered audience, like to Colette Mary Stephan show, The Truth is Funny, and audiences like this, because there's no strain of religion. There's no grip. There's no vice grip to be able to say, okay, you can do this, but you can't do that. I know I've built that relationship with Colette to be able to speak of her freedom, of what's on my heart. But also at the same time, this is a great place because there are hungry hearts, hungry spirits, hungry souls to be able to hear truth. But I know what it's like to be disenfranchised. So there may be times where you are disenfranchised from people groups, from friendship circles, from maybe it might even cost you your job. It could cost you your career. It could cost you connections that you built, or maybe people you thought were your friends. Like, this is something, as I said, me and Colette were talking about, where there is this heat, there's this inferno, there's this fiery furnace, this pressure cooker that some are not able to stand in, some are able to stand in, and there is great sacrifice, personal cost. So why did the three Hebrew men refuse to bow to the image of gold? I said, what is the image of gold in our day? Anything that exalts itself against the name of Yahweh, God the Creator, Jesus, who I believe is the ultimate creator and the high power, but against that dimension of heaven, anything that stands in the way of Yahweh, really, as a mediator, anything that says, oh, I am God, you know, or, you know, I'm going to make decisions for your life. Oh, you're going to follow this. And it's when it starts to take away people from their free will of choice. That is Babylon. So let me repeat that again. Babylon is when your freedom to choose what you will bow to and what you will not bow to, that is when it starts to go against our conscience. When the Babylonian society rears its head is when that's when it takes away your freedom of choice. So we have to live by our conscience. Sometimes that may mean sacrificing, as I said, work, friendships, lands, places you've lived, connections. Could mean a group of people that you believe that they did for a long time, and then you're like, no, you know what? There's this core. There's something in my core that's been calling to me where I have to make this stand for this, and I can't go that way. I can't go that way. There's a certain line, and then there's crossing that line. So we have to go with our conscience. To go against conscience is neither right nor safe. We cannot bow to that image of gold. We've got to live by our conscience. Babylon really is a matrix, a system that is, we can get caught in that hamster wheel. Institutions and structures of men is what controls Babylon. The news, the media, dare I say, even the healthcare system, not to get into any of that, but world leaders, powers, individuals, like a lot of these people, they have positions of influence and prominence, but at the end of the day, one of my concerns that I come into contact with in our modern culture, just like the Babylonian culture of Nebuchadnezzar and his magistrates and his kingdom and his domain, is really the over unhealthy place that people are giving to these powers and into these leaders and these governments and the individuals, of taking control to the point where you can't even have your own independent thoughts. You can't even move. Can't even put your foot in front of you without fearing, oh, I'm so afraid. What is that going to mean? Like we have to live life. At the end of the day, we have to live life, and we cannot be gripped by fear. We have to stand in the furnace, even if it means being shamed, even if it means being ridiculed and mocked, and really say, you know what, this is my line, and this is where I'm going to stand. This is where my absolute is. Babylon, the matrix, will always, always look to trying to shut your freedom, your personal freedom of choice, your personal freedom to be able to worship and to be able to connect with God and the Spirit in the way that you want to operate and the way that you want to be able to live life. We cannot put our trust in what we see. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. What is seen is temporary, what is unseen is eternal. That unseen realm, that inner flame, that flame of Yahweh, that connection to heaven, that connection to God, to the Spirit, to Christ, really that connection to our higher power, really looking into another culture, another realm. I'm saying all this stuff about the statue and Babylon and intimidation and the matrix of Babylon and standing for Yahweh, standing with Yahweh, with the fourth man in the fire during this inferno that's around us. We have to look to another culture, another realm, to the fourth man in the fire. That fourth man is the Son of Man. Revelations 19:12, the ancient mystical book of Revelation, says his eyes are like blazing fire, and on his head are many crowns. He has a name written on him that no one knows but he himself. So when we look into the eyes of fire, into the flames of Yah, that really is when we rise above. We rise above. We rise above what's going on in this culture. We rise above what's going on in our society. And we say, I will not bow to that image of gold. I will not bow to that intimidation tactic. I will not bow to that culture that is a different culture. I'm going to take some water here. We will not bow to that different culture, that culture that says you have to do things this way. That majority culture says, oh, majority math. All these experts and all this and all this and all this says this, this and that, this. Therefore, you have to fear, you have to fear, you have to fear, you have to be gripped by fear. Fear is not the author of life. There is Zoe life. There is a Zoe life that comes out from our spirit. You know, this the Zoe life of God, the breath of God, the breath of Yahweh, really just is just infuses us into our spirit. And I had a dream shared with me by my lovely assistant before we got back onto the air, because I do interpret dreams, and I think it really is a picture. It's a picture of what we're going into at this time in our day. So I wanted to open it up for dreams, but the dream that that I was interpreting here was about a girl called Zoe that the dreamer saw, and the girl was kind of like a zombie, and she wanted to capture that Zoe with her phone, but she was like, oh, I wonder if, you know, I can even capture it with my smartphone, because usually smartphones are hard to capture pictures and dreams, and it's almost a really hard thing to do. And but the dreamer did it anyways, and captured Zoe, and then she woke up and was looking for her phone, because it was just such a battle to be able to get that picture in her phone. But I think that really is a picture of what we're going through right now. Because I asked the dreamer what Zoe means to her, and Zoe is kind of like a connection, a friendship, a relationship that kind of fizzled out, is what the words that she used for me. And so I said, and here's what I say about the dream right now for everyone who's listening, and obviously just we talked about it before when we went back on the air, but Zoe, the name of Zoe means Zoe life in the original Hebrew. And I think that the Zoe life, the connection to the higher power, to God, to Yahweh, to the creator, that connection to Yahweh, there's a calling right now for that connection to be rekindled. We've almost been put into a zombie-like state right now with everything bizarre that's gone over the last 12 or 14 months, with just being inundated with media, with the overload and the sensory overload of media, and of who controls the script and what's happening within the media and on, you know, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, online on Google, on online articles, everywhere on CTV, CBC, CHBS, CBS, Fox, your world news station, whatever you see, everywhere. I don't even need to call it by its name. I don't need, if I said the magic words, everyone would know, because it's in the news. So I don't want to go down that slippery rabbit slope, but what I do want to say is that as a people across the world, in the nation that you're in right now, in the city that you're in right now, the radio that you tune into, that you could tune into, you can go to almost any radio station, even the music stations, when they're not playing a song, in between the hosts are talking about the latest numbers and the latest numbers this and what's going on here at that. And just everything is about the virus. And I think, obviously, we have compassion. We have compassion on those who are sick. We have compassion on those who are struggling, but it cannot be our God. It cannot be our golden statue. It cannot take our focus. Really, like, it's, we have to live life. At the end of the day, we're here on this planet. We're here to work our jobs. We're here to raise our families. We're here to follow God, follow Yahweh, follow the creator, follow, at least for myself, following Jesus in the best way that I can follow, following for you, following God the best way you can follow, following according to your conscience, following according to that inner flame, following according to standing in the fire and saying, I am going to follow the fourth man in the flames. I am going to follow the creator of the universe. I am going to follow the Alpha and the Omega, Alpha and the Omega. I'm going to follow the Cloud Rider. I'm going to follow Elrohi, the God who sees. I am going to follow God, the Ancient One. I'm going to follow Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Righteous One. I'm going to follow the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. I'm going to follow my conscience. I'm going to follow the inner flame of the chambers of my heart and not be caught up in this toxic obsession with just this new world religion, what it is right now. I'm just going to say it right now, like this new world order religion of just going into taking away our focus, taking away our passion, like this zombie light state. This zombie state where the Zoe life, that connection, that friendship that we've had in the past with our higher power and the creator, that connection that's been robbed because of our sensory overload from the media, our eyes, our ears, our senses, it's taken away a lot of the intimate times. It's like if you're on a beach and you're listening to the waves lapping up against the water and you're just relaxing, having a nap, or just in that yoga place or that inner peace, or you're connecting with nature, and then someone comes along and all of a sudden they bring like a boombox in here and they turn on the boombox and they start like playing like heavy metal music, or someone turns on a boombox and you start listening to the latest news. It's like we came out here to relax, not to be inundated with an injection of Babylon, like really is what it is. Like we need to get back to the place where we come back to our connection with Zoe life, our connection with Zoe life, our connection, rekindling that flame, capturing that flame within our smartphone. So let's go into some dream interpretation analysis, and then we're going to open up to a few dreams at the end here. Dreams, we always say, what is this a picture of? So a smartphone is a device. It's a device that most of us use every day that captures pictures and can store memories of moments. And we could say that could represent our spirit. Our spirit is reaching out to capture those moments and really getting that MPA, that multiple perspective advantage of saying, hey, I'm going to capture this moment. I realize, oh, that Zoe life, that connection that my spirit has that I once had, I want to get back to that place and be called away from being in the zombie place of being caught up like a hamster on the wheel in the Babylonian culture and get above Babylon and really say, I'm going to get in the fire. It may be uncomfortable, but I'm going to get in the fire, that Zoe life fire, that inner flame, that flame that others can see around me. And it may cost me friendships. It may cost me people not understanding me. They cost me social disenfranchisement, but I'm going to go into that flame. So yeah, so I'm going to open it up. We've got about another 10 minutes here. If there are anyone out there who wants to message in a dream or callers, we open it up here. Who wants to share a short dream, like the one we interpreted there about the Zoe dream. We'll give a few moments here for that. So a short dream. If someone has a dream that they had in the night season, night dream, that they want to share, just message it in here to us at The Truth Is Funny. Give us a call or send us a message, then we can do that as well. We'll be on the air for another 10 minutes here. You can alternatively as well send me an email at info@encompassedbydreams.com. So info@encompassedbydreams.com. You can send me an email and I'll do a complimentary dream interpretation analysis and get that out to you, because I'm all about empowerment and activating and really just supplying spiritual sustenance as well in my messages, but also in interpreting for you. So I think the dream here is really about the Zoe life. The Zoe life. It's a calling to get in that Zoe life, that inferno, that spiritual inferno, that flame, getting inside the cauldron, getting inside that fiery furnace. And it may cost us. It may cost us a whole bunch. It may cost us being misunderstood. It may cost us making a stand in an area where we're standing alone or with very few people, but it's worth making. So ask yourself this question. We're going to do a recap here. We've spoken about Daniel and his three friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, how they refused to eat the king's food set before them, and they had their own diet according to their conscience and their convictions. We spoke about how when the sound, there's that sound that was played, the trumpets and the lyre and the tambourines were played, and when all of Babylon bowed, these three young men did not bow to the image of gold that Nebuchadnezzar had set up for everyone to see. Keep in mind that that would have been thousands of people looking, like they would have been standing in this open field in front of the statue, and this was three young men not standing, not bowing, but the rest of them were bowing. It would have taken an incredible amount of intestinal fortitude to do that. So we went through that, and three men who refused to bow, and the king was thrown into a rage and threw them into the fiery furnace. And in the fiery furnace, they were able to stand where even the strongest guards and the select guards were burned up even as they approached the flames. But the three young men stood in the fiery furnace. And the king came to a place where him and his subjects who were watching all this were witness. They were witness to the fourth man in the fire was standing there ministering and speaking to and encouraging and exhorting the three young men in the fire. He leapt through the heavens to stand there with them in that moment because God is outside of time and space. The ancient one, El Rohi, the God who sees Yahweh, the spirit of life, Jesus, the creator of the universe, is outside of space or time and leapt through that time portal and stood in there in the flames as the Son of Man. The Son of Man, the Alpha and the Omega, standing there in the flames, speaking to those young men, encouraging them. And that really, to stand inside the fiery furnaces of today, of Babylonian culture then, the Babylonian culture of today, takes intestinal fortitude. It takes having a council. It takes having another realm and dimension speaking to you, ministering to you, and saying, you are going to make the stand. I'm going to make the stand. We are going to make the stand, even though all of Babylon, even though all of cancel culture or culture around us would try to say otherwise, we are going to stand in the inferno, in the testing that burns away all other impurities, because that's really what's going on right now at this point in history. All other impurities, all other things, all other lights go out. One of my favorite quotes from Lord of the Rings, for those of you who may have seen Lord of the Rings, one of my favorite trilogies of all time. I think it's going to be untopped, at least in my lifetime. But Galadriel, the Elf Queen, when she's speaking to Frodo Baggins, and Frodo Baggins is taking the Ring of Power to Mordor, or at least going from Lothlorien, and they are advancing beyond into the next realm, into the next place of the journey, she gives the light of Elendil, which is the most beloved star of the elves. And she said, may it be a light for you in dark places when all other lights go out. And boy, Frodo would need that. So we have a caller who wants to share a dream, so we can probably do that. If we've got a few minutes here, then we can have her on the air or can type it out, whatever you feel like. So we can go with that. Whatever is convenient.
All right. So we've got Faith from Kelowna on. Faith, you're on with Caleb Matthews.
Awesome. Hi, Caleb. Can you hear me?
I can, Faith. Go for it.
I can hardly hear you. Anyways, let me just see here. Maybe if I put on my computer. I just have a brief dream.
Go for it.
Okay, I have a brief dream that I had last night. I was basically shown that we are all, like, remember Star Trek where they say, beam me up, Scotty, and they stand on those spots and then they get beamed to another place?
Yes, I do.
Well, I was shown that we are just like that. We can be zoned right into another place. Our physical bodies they really are illusion. And as we go from here to that other place, our bodies are all like little messages that are in pieces as we go from one place to the other. I don't know. That's what I was being shown in my dream.
For sure, and that's a dream that you had, like in the nighttime, like a night dream. Yeah, that's kind of like what you saw, was like a beam me up, yeah. Scotty.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I can go into interpreting that. So, With that dream, I think it's just a calling to, as you're saying, just before even with Olivia's Zoe dream, like there's a beam me up where we just, a calling from our higher power, from the creator and from God, just to really step into that portal for you, at least God speaking to you and saying, it's just to get above, like we were speaking about before, just that multiple perspective advantage and, answer that calling to connect with your higher power, whatever that is. I don't know what that is, but to get above that, to get above what's going on right now, and really just to go into the council of heaven, the council of God. So I think it's a calling for you, Faith, and I think it's also a calling for all of us to really answer the call to get beamed up and to take the trek, the Star Trek. You know, there's a play on words there. To take the Star Trek into the other galaxy where man has not gone before, like the natural man. Cannot go into the places where the spiritual man or woman is supposed to go into, and it takes that spiritual mindset. So I think it's just a reminder of that calling for you and all of us.
Yeah, no doubt. And it really has been what I've been called to do in my life right now.
For sure.
I think most of us, like you said, all of us have been called to do that.
Yeah, okay. So hopefully that provides some clarity. Yeah. Thank you. Awesome. So then we're, Olivia, we're back on the air here. So another dream from, I guess, reading here in the chat from Jessica. She's spinning out of control in a car, then regaining control, recurring dream about spinning out of control. So usually a vehicle is a picture of your vocation or what you're called to or your avenue of career or just your life. And I think, Jessica, what the dream is saying to you is you might feel like there's a persistent sense of, I think, your higher power letting you know that your life seems to be in chaos, but then you're regaining control from that chaos. So I think the encouraging thing for you in this dream is that you're regaining control when there is kind of chaos. So I think there's a calling for you from your higher power, from God, to know that you've been given the wisdom and the tools to be able to have peace and clarity from your higher power and from God, from the Spirit, in moments and in life moments and in places right now where you feel like things are very chaotic around you in your family life or your circle or your work. I don't know where that is just because of the context of the dream and needing a little bit more context. But I think right now, since it's recurring, usually recurring dreams mean that there is a multiple knock on the door. Like there is a multiple knocks there of, you know what, there's something going on here. It usually means the relevant now word. And so for Jessica, I think for you, it's your creator. It's God. It's a higher power. It's a spirit saying, I see you and I've got you even in these moments while there's chaos, that I'm giving you the wisdom and the tools to be able to gain, just to gain control and peace, in those times, but to embrace the chaos. And I think that's a theme today. So embrace the chaos. It's a very relevant word because it's multiple recurring dreams. So I would encourage you as a tool, maybe the next time you go to sleep, to call out to your higher power, call out to the creator, call out to the spirit of life, however your connection is to your higher power, and say, okay, thank you for this dream. How do I act upon this? How do I move upon this? Because usually a recurring dream, there needs to be an application as well. So Jessica, hopefully that shed some light on some things, but move from that from there and pray and connect with your higher power and the creator and the spirit in that way. So, okay, so that's good. So I'm glad we were able to get a few dreams with Olivia and with Faith and with Jessica. I want to conclude in a fiery prayer of blessing and of infusion of clarity and of peace for you as the listeners before we go. So I bless you right now with the blessing of Yahweh, of the eternal flame, of El Roihi, the God who sees, whose eyes blaze like burning fire and gives you clarity, us clarity, in the name of Yeshua, of Jesus, the Spirit of life, of Yahweh, of the first and the last, the living one, of the Alpha and the Omega, of the Cloud Rider, of the one who stands in the flames, who is a burning witness, the fourth man in the fire, I bless you with the courage and with the clarity and with the peace to be able to stand in moments that go against your conscience. When you say, no, this is the line. I will not let you cross that line. I will not bow to that image of gold. I'm going to be given the peace and the clarity to stand. So I bless you with the fire, the internal flame from Yahweh, to be able to stand in the fire, and that Yahweh himself would minister to you. Jesus would minister to himself as the fourth man in the fire that speeds to the heavens faster than the sound of speed or light, to give you clarity, to give you strength, to give you encouragement, to overshadow you with the power and the shadow of his wings in your life, in your family's life. And I speak to you, to those in Africa, to Europe and Asia and the United States and Canada, Australia and South America and Central America, anywhere where you are in the world right now, I speak to you with that power and the infusion and that clarity of the Spirit of Life, the Counselor, the wonderful Counselor, the mighty God, the Prince and the power of Yahweh. Bless you with that fire in the name of Yeshua. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you to Colette Mary Stephan for having me on the show. As always, check me out on encompassedbydreams.com, E-N-C-O-M-P-A-S-E-D-B-Y, dreams.com, or send me an email at info@encompassedbydreams.com, or follow me at Encompassed by Dreams. Thank you for tuning in today to this talk, and thank you to the Transformation Talk Radio and Colette and all of her staff and everyone. Olivia, thank you for helping me today. Thank you for all of you who have tuned in. May you be blessed with heaven's fire today.
You've been listening to The Truth is Funny, Shift Happens, with Colette Marie Stephan, gracing the airwaves every Wednesdays at 8 a.m. Pacific since 2013. And we're live on Facebook, providing nuggets of wisdom from her book, The Truth is Funny, and 3-card consultations from Tales of the Vector Oracle. Colette has poured 14 years of energetic upgrades into this deck, and we can all predict what will happen if you continue in your wanton ways. Check out how you can become an official modern-day dragon sayer by visiting thetruthisfunny.com. Energetic upgrades to lift you, ship you, and power you to ride the wave of infinite potential. You are a blank canvas. May as well paint a rainbow. We'd love to hear from you. Call in next week, 1-800-930-2819.
Views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.